All right, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to call this meeting to order Monday, May 16th, 2022. At this time, I would like to ask Commissioner Branch to do an invocation and lead us in the pledge. Everybody please stand.
Let us pray. Dear wise and precious God, thank you for this day and thank you for this opportunity for us to come together, Lord. Father, we have to give you so much thanks for all the things that you're allowing to take place in our lives. But by the same token, Father, for you just being available to us at any of our needs. Father, as we prepare to get all minds and hearts on one accord, to do the things that's necessary to bring clarity, direction, uplift, and support for the great citizens of Duplin County, we give you thanks. Father, block out all things that's inconsistent with you. And open up our hearts and minds to receive direction. Lord, grant us the serenity to accept those things that we cannot change. Father, provide us with the courage to change the things that we can. And Lord, always give us understanding and knowledge to know the difference between the two. As we go forward this evening, I continue to ask that you give us strength and guidance. Touch each and every one of us as we conduct the business of Duplin County. We will forevermore give you praise, honor, and glory, for it's in the precious name of Jesus that I do pray. Let us all say, amen.
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 I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Branch.
You're welcome.
Can I get a motion to approve the meeting agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. You have anything to add?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I would like to add to the consent agenda the acceptance. It's a budget amendment to accept $625,402 from state airport grant. This will be used for engineering services, inspection services, and construction at the airport to finish out the Forest Service hangar project. So again, that's a budget amendment in the amount of $625,402. I would also like to add to the agenda tonight a discussion of a donation to Emerge Ministries to help with the Duplin County 4th of July celebration to be held at the Event Center. And Milta King from the Kingsville ABC Board has called and advised that she cannot attend tonight's meeting, and that will be rescheduled for June the 6th. Also, there'll be no closed session for personnel, but I believe county attorney would like to speak to you in closed session regarding a legal matter.
Okay, so where are you wanting to add the item and put it in the budget number five place in King's place?
Yes, we can do that, Mr. Chairman, and the budget amendment, of course, will go on the consent agenda.
Yeah. Okay, I had a motion and a second on the floor. Are y'all in agreement to this ad?
Yes.
All right. Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Mm-hmm. All opposed, same sign. It's carried. All right. Approval of the minutes of our May 2nd meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. All opposed? Carried. Do I get a motion to approve the consent agenda with the add-on that we had?
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Same side? Carried. So that moves us right into item number one, public comment.
Comments. Anyone sign up for public comment? Mr. Chairman, no one signed up for public comments.
Okay. Thank you, sir. So that moves us into number two, Jerry Shields.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners.
Good evening.
I am here tonight to conduct a public hearing for Project HEAL. Project HEAL is an existing pork manufacturing industry that's seeking to expand their business. Per a state requirement, a local match is required. This company is investing $60 million in creating 163 jobs. The match required by the state is 5%, which would be $25,000 for us to move forward with a building reuse grant for this project. The state's portion of this is $500,000.
Okay. At this time, I'm going to open up a public hearing. Anybody back in the back? Okay. Go ahead.
I want to know what Project Heal is about. Can you tell us that? You can't tell us that.
Yes, ma'am. I can say it's an existing pork manufacturing company that's wishing to expand their industry.
In what area?
In a pork manufacturing product.
What area?
Excuse me. Warsaw, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I apologize.
Okay. Dr. Boyd.
I find it very difficult to provide comment at a hearing on an item that I have no background information. What, other than the title, seeing it on the agenda, what am I to comment on as a concerned, responsible citizen? I would like to be able to review understand fully or be able to comment in this public setting as required by law before our commissioners approve something. But this forum doesn't allow me that opportunity.
Is there a question that I could answer that would help you?
I don't have it in front of me. I may have many questions.
Okay.
But a hearing does require that.
That's
transparency.
Correct.
But I don't know what the question, I don't know what it is.
I understand. And the statute that I have to follow, it states that I am to name the project name, the total investment, and the jobs creation. Now, there are other facts that I can give, such as, you know, location. I can give that information. I could also give your mean average wage. I could give those type of answers.
Yeah, but even for a hearing to take place, just like this public meeting, technically and legally supposed to have access to the information before the hearing. So I can read as they read to vote on something. I don't know what questions you ask you, first of all. And I'm not just speaking of this extension of procedure, period. But I'm at a loss. And after this hearing, they're going to vote and approve something, and I still would be at a loss. Not just me, any concerned citizen.
I will say that you do have all the information that the board has been provided. So she keeps that information to herself as. Especially when it's put in a public forum, she has this statute that she has to adhere to. So the board has the information that you have.
Which is an agenda item, and they're yes. going to vote on it, and they don't know what they're voting on?
They're not voting on it tonight. This is just a public hearing.
At what point do they and us get information?
That Ms. Shields is providing as required by the statute. I understand your point, Dr. Boykin, but she's just adhering to the statute.
Mr. Wilson, is there anything that you would like as the attorney to address this situation just so that there would be more clarity in what we are statute to guide us to go on?
Be glad to, Mr. Chairman, or attempt to, and I think maybe Carrie can speak to this more as well, but the intent of the statute in this situation is to allow Ms. Shields to go behind the scenes, for lack of a better term, and negotiate a deal that is favorable to the county without providing so much information that it would compromise the integrity of the transaction. And so she does, the legislature has set out the law the way they have to give her and the county some discretion and authority to negotiate the terms of a deal favorable to the county, which then she would come back and present additional information at that point, right? I mean, it's kind of a process that's laid out under the statute.
It is, that's correct.
So before they vote, all the elected officials will fully understand the details and they will be able to share it with their constituents?
They can share as much as I can provide, yes, sir. But, I mean, I can tell you that, you know, your mean average wage, I can tell you the capital investment. Those are the information that I can, you know, provide. And know that when this goes to the state before it comes back to us, so the state is privy to a lot of detailed information as far as the name of the company, what kind of jobs they're creating. So the state gives me feedback on what I, on what they will pay, and then what our requirement is as far as a county, should we want this this company or this industry in our county.
Let me ask you something. You know, you got a habit of running companies in here, and then they get their people to work, and our people don't get the jobs. A lot of times, the high-up jobs. And Mike can't tell me this, but are we looking at the same situation that we always look at, that they bring their own people in and they get the high-up jobs, and our people get the low jobs? Are we looking at that same situation?
So I can only speak to that the person that's qualified for the job will you know, be rewarded the job. I can tell you the company that we're referring to right now is very sound and very vested in our community. So the higher ups would be located here because the headquarters is here. But I can't speak to who would get a job other than the most qualified candidate. But I do understand your question.
By law, is this county allowed to put a stipulation in that its percentage of the employees must be local employees?
I don't think so. I can research. I mean, do you know, Tim? I don't. I've never experienced that.
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think that would be legal.
Can't tell them they can.
I would think that would be some sort of discriminatory thing.
Right, and that, all I can tell you at this point is that it's something we could look into for, but my initial reaction is that probably you cannot attach that string to it, but we'll look into it further.
And if I can get your name and information, I don't mind finding that out and, you know, discussing it and getting back to you on that.
If I may, I would just like to interject a couple of things as pertains to Ms. Maynard and Dr. Borkin. And in lieu of what you stated in terms of what has been done and may have been perceived to be the process as it pertains to our citizens having opportunity to work within these new companies that come in, what we could do is be intentional in making sure that we ask questions, as Mr. Wilson has stated, so that the perception is not that they're bringing in those that which will be in these positions without some type of buy-in from the board to have an idea exactly how the process works. So it will be some oversight to just, you know, ask the detailed questions as a result of what you said, so that at least they know that they're, we're being intentional to make sure that our own are getting a look at these opportunities as well.
Just to make sure I understand, the concern or the request is that we are filling a certain percentage of the jobs with individuals who reside in Duplin County?
That was her concern, but I agree with that.
Is that
that's
correct, Ms.
Maynard? Very significant. But mine was more on related to the open record, freedom of information process of anything. And I understand there's a certain secrecy, confidentiality built into this particular policy or legislation that's guiding the funding. However, I'm speaking about the decision making by our elected body and information to get to them and privy to the public's privy to that information. Because once it ahead, if it's not closed session, and the law only allows certain things to go in the closed session, as we are all aware, once it hits that board's hand, it's public. But you did say that they have no more than what I have, which I'm bothered by that. If that is the case, just an agenda item, if that's all they have. But I am bothered about that too.
But correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Shields, if you come back to the board to request an economic incentive package from the county to one of these businesses, then that requires another public hearing. And at that point, Dr. Boykin, you would know what the county is incentivizing this company with to lure them or to Duplin County. So yes, there would that would require another public hearing. If they were to give them an
they will have the information.
Yes, sir.
They have it, it's a public document, we can get it.
If it's held in closed session.
If it's not in closed session.
No, that's right.
If it's not in closed session, that's right. It's an open session.
There are only certain items that the law requires to go to closed session.
Yes, sir.
Personnel being one of them.
Legal and economic.
And economic development as well. Certain economic development matters can go to closed session.
And that's the, and I probably failed to say that, but I think that's the important thing to note here, that there's a specific and special statute for economic development that allows them to go through this process differently than every other bit of business that we would conduct in the county.
It's if the business is looking at locating in two different counties and we don't want
to. And I'm following.
Right,
I just
okay.
need the full understanding.
Right.
Because I know the last meeting there was a public hearing that wasn't announced. And I said, how do we ask questions about something we don't have information on? But that's where I am. And I fully accept and understand what you just, your response.
Any other questions from the public? At this point, I'm going to close the public hearing then. All right, we move on to item number 3.
Yes, sir. It's me again. Another public hearing. So I'm sure some of the same questions will arise. That's right. But at least we're more well-versed now, so thank you for your question. I do appreciate it. Project ACC is a cabinet manufacturing company, and once again, they're seeking a building reuse grant. The requirement by the state is a 5% match as a Tier 1 county. They are creating 139 jobs and $13.3 million investment. The state has awarded them $375,000. So our match, should we move forward with this project, would be $18,750. So I'd like to hold a public hearing on Project ACC.
Okay, at this time, I'll open up for a public hearing on Project ACC.
I just want to ask you, what town is
that? I should have known. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. It's in Warsaw. It's considered Warsaw. Mm-hmm. And this is an existing building. It's an existing location.
There's two planes coming in.
Should we?
Well, potentially.
That's
potentially.
Correct. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Any other comments from the public? Hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing. And that moves. Thank you.
Thank
Ms.
you.
Shield.
Thank you.
That moves us to item number 4. Ms. Quinn.
Good evening. I'm here tonight to present a stream debris removal project for Cypress Creek. Jerry Hall of Hall's Tree Service has submitted a bid for this project, and he was the low bidder in the amount of $76,000 to clean out trees and debris. He has had previous contracts with us and has done an excellent job and has an excellent reputation with this type of work. So I'd like to request that you award this to Jerry Hall of Hall's Tree Service, Cypress Creek, in the amount of $76,000.
So moved.
So I've got a motion and a second to approve the $76,000 to the stream debris removal service of Cypress Creek to Hall's Tree Service Incorporated. Any further comments? All in favor say aye. All opposed, same sign. Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then that brings us to item number 5, which was our replacement item.
Right,
yes, sir. Mr. Brinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I appear before you now regarding the donation that was requested by Mr. Terry Norris of Emerge Ministries. He's going to hold a Duplin County 4th of July celebration at the Event Center this summer and requested that the Board of Commissioners make a donation. I think it's the consensus of the board that you donate $1,000.
I make a motion we donate $1,000 to Emerge Ministries for the July 4th celebration.
Second.
I got a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I have some comments. In years past, we have always stayed with a certain donation. I think we're getting out of it, but I just think we need to be fair to all. If we give one, we give all. That's my statement.
Call question.
Okay, we got a question called. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Same side? Carried. Okay. So that moves us to item number six, Mr. Davis.
Patricia, can you have them to display the PowerPoint presentation regarding the budget on the screen?
Yes, sir.
When is our workshop scheduled?
Tomorrow.
When is it?
Tomorrow.
I figured it was usually the day after.
And can you display the PowerPoint presentation for the budget on the screen? It's not going to pull up, he said.
Not going to pull up?
No, sir.
Okay. Does the board have your hard copies, or would you like for us to go make you a hard copy?
I think we all have a hard copy.
This is on our desk.
I'm going to have her go make you guys a copy before you leave, but that will carry one with you. All right. The first slide is just a title slide. The second slide is entitled General Fund Budget. I'm gonna go through this. If you have any questions, feel free to stop me at any time and I'll make myself and Ms. Chestnut available to answer any questions you may have. The manager's recommended total general fund budget for FY23 is $66,752,675. The capital expenditures recommended are $1,038,769.38. As you will see from your capital outlay request sheet that we have provided you, this includes the following: transit van and a server for the IT department, a vehicle lift for the county garage, 8 Dodge Durango patrol vehicles for the sheriff's department, consulates, and a workstation, which are general fund expenditures, and 911 equipment and associated software, which are paid for by the 911 fund, which will be used in the 911 communications division, a new ambulance, a remounted ambulance, a power load device, and a Ford F-150 for the emergency medical services department, a Ford F-150 with a dog box for the animal services department, a tractor and a side mower for Cabin Lake County Park, 3 transit vehicles for the public transportation department, and a forklift for the solid waste and recycling department. The next item you'll see is an increase in the employer retirement contribution. This year's employer portion of the contribution to the local government retirement system went up again, although not as much as in the past few budget cycles. This year's increase for local government employees is 0.73%. and 1% for sworn law enforcement personnel. The local government contribution in FY23 to the retirement system will be 12.17%, and and for law enforcement officers, 13.04%. Employee health insurance through the North Carolina Health Insurance Pool, fiscal year 23's increase is 3.9% over the current fiscal year, or about $31.55 per employee per month. The vision insurance is going up 3.96%, or 22 cents a month. the pay study implementation. I don't think I need to explain that any further, but I do feel compelled to take this opportunity to once again sincerely thank the board on behalf of your public servants, and to say that not only was it the right thing to do, it will put us in a much better position to compete in this very challenging labor market in which we find ourselves. Increase to property and liability insurance. The total amount of our increase is $67,166. Property liability is going up 18.32%. And workers' comp is actually going down about 11%. According to the NCACC's risk pool, where we have our insurance for both property liability as well as workers' comp, the increase in property liability can be attributed to the fact that cyber insurance continues to escalate due to increasing claims. Our cyber coverage doubled from $5,000 to $10,000 this year. In addition, our law enforcement liability insurance also saw about an $8,000 increase. Additionally, property values for the county trended upwards this year due to building materials and other pandemic-related effects on the economy and inflationary effects, which affected our reinsurance costs. Thus, our property coverage, named storms coverage, flood and earthquake insurance went up about $51,211. Again, our workers' comp actually came down $38,476. Operational increases. Operational increases total about $1.4 million in the estimated to be $1.4 million in the upcoming fiscal year. These are the increases. Educational increases, $630,595. This includes fully funding the request from our partners at the Board of Education, which is an increase of $495,100, and the $135,495 increase requested by the Board of Trustees at James Brunk Community College. Contingency for construction projects. I've also included $495,100 in our contingency fund in an effort to try to hedge against any unforeseen costs due to the current volatility in the construction industry resulting from historically high rates of inflation that are currently plaguing our economy. Jail health. Our contractual agreement with a new jail health provider will add approximately $138,000 to our cost. These costs that I have just alluded to total $1,263,695 and account for 90% of the increase in our operational expenses. The remaining increases are due to inflationary increases, especially as they relate to goods and services, supplies, utilities, and especially fuel in the form of both diesel fuel and gasoline for our vehicle fleets. Slide 3. The revenues. Total general fund revenues are budgeted this year at $66,752,675. Real and property values are budgeted to be up $126,086,592. Motor vehicle values are up $63,933,473. Sales tax are estimated to be flat. I am proposing no increase to the property tax rate for fiscal year 23, thus it will remain at 73.5 cents. I propose that we decrease the amount of fund balance appropriation needed to balance the budget by $175,991. That's a decrease of about 6% over the current fiscal year. We are also making use of American Rescue Plan Act funds in the form of revenue replacement to help offset the cost of the updated pay plan. The next slide, our special revenue funds. The E911 fund is budgeted at $281,541. School capital, $3,154,273. That's sales tax used to pay debt service and also to make general repairs to facilities and purchase some equipment for the school system. the Register of Deeds office. Ms. Savage is budgeting to collect $19,500, which must be set aside for automation enhancement and preservation in the Register of Deeds office. Property revaluation fund 25, we are setting aside $476,629 as required by statute to help fund our tax revaluation. Fire protection, $3,275,446. This includes sales tax collections, district fire taxes, and general fund contribution to each fire department. No fire department has asked to change their district tax rates this year. Sales tax collections are budgeted to be flat at about $42,174 per county department, and we also give some of our departments from neighboring counties who have districts in Duplin County a lower amount, including Harrell's Fire Department, Mount Olive Fire Department, and Pricetown Fire Department. The general fund contribution to each department will remain unchanged at $26,054.45 for each county department, with smaller amounts again being given to Harrell's, Mount Olive, and Pricetown Fire Departments. Debt service, Fund 30, $4,575,465. This includes the debt payment that we make to the USDA for Duplin Commons and also local obligation bonds for the school debt. ARPA, we're setting aside $9,275,301.93. Insurance for county employees. Well, as you know, we are self-insured, $6,222,852. Budget highlights this, the capital that we are expending from the special revenue funds. Our 911 communication center needs to add another telecommunicator station. We currently have five stations, and the North Carolina 911 board has approved a sixth station as an overflow station. We will need to purchase two radios or consolettes that will enable our telecommunicators to receive and transmit radio traffic from the 911 center, a new workstation where the telecommunicator actually sits to perform their duties, and a new 911 Entrada system, which is the equipment and software used to receive and route 911 telephone calls. Again, the total cost of this equipment is $22,842, and again is being paid for with E911 funds. The next slide you see details the enterprise funds. The water fund, Fund 61, the budget for the water department in the upcoming fiscal year is $3,098,143. No capital purchase are proposed this fiscal year for the water department. We are in the midst of a project to upgrade our SCADA system and are discussing the need for a new well site to enhance our ability to meet the demand of our growing customer base as well as higher demand from our existing customers. Water debt service, Fund 62. We are budgeting $982,719. This is the debt on our water systems infrastructure, and it actually went down $114,569, or about 10.4%, in this fiscal year versus the current fiscal year due to retirement of some debt. Public transportation, the budget is $1,240,542. The airport, $972,220. The solid waste and recycling department, $4,090,542. The capital investment in the enterprise funds, public transportation, they are purchasing three transit vehicles at a cost of $70,085 each, or $210,255 for all three. This is just a regular rotation of the fleet, with virtually all of the expense being covered by state and federal funds. Solid waste and recycling. We are funding a forklift in the amount of $85,000. This is the forklift that is used in the recycling warehouse. Of course, the enterprise funds have associated employee costs as well, just as the general fund department, so they saw an increase in their health insurance cost of 3.9%. Also, an increase in the contribution to the local government retirement system of 0.73%. And also, they had increased payroll expenditures due to the implementation of the new pay plan. The next slide is slide six. Again, the enterprise fund. I'd like to discuss with you just a moment, if I may, about the solid waste and recycling department. I am requesting to increase the solid waste availability fee by $20. The fee was established in 1992 at $69 and remained steady at $69 in 1993. In 1994, the fee was increased to $90, which is where it remains currently. Thus, the fee has not been raised in about 28 years. I'm also requesting an increase in the solid waste tipping fees as well by $10. This is what some call a gate fee, and is calculated as vehicles bring trash and other debris to the solid waste transfer facility and are weighed and charged according to the tipping fee. Currently, our tipping fee is $45 per ton. Other counties in the area charge the following: Bladen, $55 a ton; Jones, $57 per ton; Pender, $75 per ton; Onslow, $57 per ton. I am asking that we raise our per ton fee from $45 to $55, putting us more in line with our neighbors. Fund balance appropriated out of the Solid Waste Enterprise Fund. In order to balance their budget this year, we are appropriating $92,272. The department requested a significant amount of capital purchases totaling $843,137. But are not being recommended for funding by the manager due to the dwindling fund balance. If we do not immediately put in place a plan to begin to generate more revenue for the Solid Waste and Recycling Department, then we will completely deplete their fund balance, which will necessitate that the general fund begin making an appropriation to ensure adequate cash flow to sustain operations in the future. You've also received a sheet outlining the department salary request. This includes all of the requests that were submitted requesting reclassifications, additional positions, educational increases, and the reactivation of inactive positions. All requests to reclassify positions to higher grades were denied, as every position in the pay plan was reviewed and graded as part of the recent pay study. The request to reactivate, I'm sorry.
Can you repeat that?
Yes, sir. All requests to reclassify positions in the upcoming budget to higher grades were denied, as every position in the pay plan was reviewed and graded as a part of the recent pay plan.
How many requests did you get?
I would say anywhere from 15 to 20 in various departments.
Total out of 600 employees?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The request to
Were they based on education or just?
Yes, sir. If I can go on, I think I may answer your question, but if I don't, Commissioner Dowd, I'll come back to you and make sure I answer it, okay?
All right.
The request to reactivate the inactive position was not approved. There were a total of 5 educational increases and career development increases approved based on the provisions of the personnel policy or approved career development plans. So we had 5. Commissioner Dow. I am recommending the approval of 2 new positions in the general fund budgets. One is an operations officer in the Emergency Medical Services Department and also a maintenance position at the event center. I'm also recommending the approval of or to transition 2 part-time transportation specialists or drivers in our public transportation department to full-time. This will be funded by the Public Transportation Department's Enterprise Fund and not as a general fund expenditure. That's the broad overview of the manager's recommended budget. Gentlemen, I'll make myself available and Ms. Chestnut to answer any questions you may have.
Anyone got a question, Mr. Davis?
Ms. Mr. Chairman, we have scheduled, we set aside 3 days for budget workshops with the Board of Commissioners. The first is scheduled, of course, for tomorrow to begin at 9 a.m. if the board would like to meet. If you want to ask any questions about the recommended budget at that time, or if you have anything that you want to add, change, delete from the budget, or if you don't see a need to meet, then the budget hearing for the public will be held on June 6th at the Ed Emery Auditorium.
And then we'll vote June 20th.
This second meeting in June, yes, sir, Mr. Thompson.
So the, to me, the question on the floor at this point, if nobody has a question tonight, is do you want to take some review time, and do you want to have a meeting tomorrow that, like it's scheduled at 9 o'clock? Are you satisfied with the documents you got and reviewing the documents and not have the meeting tomorrow? To me, it's the pleasure of the board. Everyone does not have to be here. You know, it's important that if you've got questions or concerns that you're here. If someone, if we have the meeting tomorrow for someone that can't come, you know, understand, not a problem. And if there is something that happens within the meeting that needs to be brought to the attention of the full board, we will get up with everybody through either email or phone contact to discuss the change. But I don't want to schedule the meeting if no one is planning to attend. So that's where my question is. You know, if one person wants the meeting is on. But if nobody is planning to attend, then we don't want to hold up Mr. Davis and his staff waiting around thinking somebody's coming. We need to clarify it tonight. So it is truly the pleasure of the board. If you don't want to make a decision right now because you're trying to think through all the numbers that you heard, we can move on with this and we can decide before we close tonight so that they'll know. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. If you know you want to come, mention it now, we'll just go ahead and plan it. But if you're not for sure, if I don't hear anything, I'll just move on to item number 7, and then I'll bring it back up after we move out of closed session before we go home tonight so that we'll know if we're having the hearing tomorrow or not.
I don't care to be heard on the proposed budget.
You don't care. You're fine.
I don't care to be heard or have any additional comments or edits. I'd like to make on the proposed budget. Of course, we still have to go through a public hearing, mm-hmm. but we've got time to digest all of this. But from now till tomorrow, when we receive this packet last week, there's nothing that sticks out to me that is concerning.
Okay, that's Commissioner Thompson. Someone else?
I believe that I'll follow suit with Commissioner Thompson just stated.
Okay.
I don't see anything that needs to change. One question I have, and Davis may be able to answer this right now, but in the solid waste with the increase, are we looking at doing any type of increase to the hours of our convenience centers?
No, we haven't looked at that. That would add cost to our labor, but we could certainly entertain that. If that's something that the board would like for us to look at, we can put some figures on paper for you, Commissioner Garner.
Which hours are you talking about, Mr. Garner?
Just more hours than what we've currently opened at our convenience center. That's the reason we got so much trash up down the side of the road. If you load your trash up to go to the dump.
You're talking about in addition to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday?
Yes. I mean, every county around us, I mean, you, that's the reason. If somebody loads it up and goes to one of our recycling centers and they get there and they're closed, it's going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's going on private property.
Something to consider there, and I certainly understand what you're saying, Commissioner Garner, and I've heard that before as well, but the way it's set up, the employees who work at the convenience sites are permanent part-time employees, so they don't get all of the benefits. But if we add more hours to their workload, then they'll be full-time, or we'll have to add more part-time staff. Yeah. So we do have an option. You want to add anything, Ms. Chestnut?
I would mention that because these employees work over 30 hours a week, they are provided health insurance benefits. They just do not work a full 40-hour schedule. But they do receive retirement and insurance.
It would just add to the labor cost.
Yes, sir.
Just because I do not know, so I'm going to ask the question. Is our hours published, and are they consistent between the sites, or do we have citizens that just load up to go, as Mr. Garner said, they get there and they're closed? Is it not scheduled to where our citizens could know when we're open and when we're closed?
Yes.
You understand my question?
It's published. It's posted at each site, to the best of my knowledge, but I'll confirm that with our solid waste director, Mr. Whaley, tomorrow. And I don't think it's been altered in years. It's a half a day on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and all day Saturday. All day on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and half day on Monday.
And the only reason I'm bringing that up is not to labor the discussion, but if people are loading to go off the schedule we got now, unless we're going to be open continuously, we'll probably end up with the same problem, you know, in other days, if you understand what I'm saying. You know, we need to try to make sure that everybody understands when the convenience center is available, is, I guess, to me, the more important thing, you know, because I didn't know, but I don't use the convenience center, you know. I have a system at home, so, you know, I'm not exposed, so I've not been to look at the sign. But I'm just saying that, you know, I can understand why I might load and go to the center and it is closed, but if the sign's there telling me when it's going to be open, why do I make a second trip that it's not open, unless we're not meeting our schedule? And if we're not meeting our schedule, it's more important that we meet the schedule that is advertised than opening more hours.
Right.
That's just my comment towards the question. So he's asked his question, so I'm assuming from that you don't need to meet tomorrow.
I mean, no.
So now it's up to you, Mr. Dow.
And before Mr. Dow speaks, I'm sorry to interrupt you. The document I just gave you is the presentation that I use to make my comments to you based on each slide. So if you need the facts, the figures, the background information that I gave you, that's what's on that document that I just gave. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Dow. What did you have?
Yeah. I'm going to review some more, and at this time I do not need to come in tomorrow.
So
I have what I need. I think a lot of thought went into coming up with this.
So with that said, Mr. Davis, I'm going to say to you and Ms. Chestnut, obviously y'all have done a good job. You've provided us with detailed information so we can dig in deeper, and some of us will question you somewhere along the way. That's a promise.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're off the hook for having to hold a meeting tomorrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, with that said, let's move to item number 7.
Okay, some general announcements. The only real announcement I have of a countywide event, the Travis Tritt is holding a concert at our event center. Tickets are on sale now. That will be on Saturday, June 25th. Along with Travis Tritt, Cameron Marlowe and Larry Fleet will also be appearing. The Duplin County Municipal Association will hold their meeting this Thursday night at the Rose Hill Restaurant at 6 p.m. Does any member of the board wish to attend? If so, if you'll let me know, I'll RSVP for you tomorrow morning. Mr. branch. Okay. All right, and finally, as you have seen, we're painting the walls here in the administrative building, and I'd like to put some new artwork and photographs on the wall. What I'd like to do is put some photographs of places, facilities, historic landmarks from around the county. So if any board member has a site or a building, an old house, anything in your district that you would like for us to send a photographer out to take a picture of so we can hang it on the wall here and somewhere in the administrative building, I'll be glad to facilitate that for you. We've also already got a local photographer who I have not contacted yet, but I believe she's going to be the one to help us take our photographs. She took the pictures out at the Cooperative Extension building, a lot of those in the Soil and Water office if you've been out there. So if any of you have any places that you'd like for us to make sure that are highlighted from your district, please by all means get with me and I will make that happen, okay? Any questions about that? All right. Mr. Chairman, that's all of the announcements that I have. I would ask that the board go into closed session pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 143-318-11A3 for legal matters.
Before I ask for that motion, Commissioner Branch has got something he would like to say.
Yes, I would like to take this opportunity to give thanks. a couple of meetings back, there was a question posed as pertains to women-owned and minority businesses having the opportunity to participate in the projects that's coming up over the next several years. And after that meeting, there was a follow-up meeting to really determine whether or not the process was in place. And in that meeting, myself, Director Chestnut, Attorney Wilson, and yours truly, Mr. Brinson, discovered that Duplin County was aware of things as pertains to minority business and HUB. However, showing in good faith and good light where we were at that time, it was determined that there were some steps that we could take to move the ball a little bit further down the road to make sure that we are truly being intentful and showing visibility as it pertains to diversity, inclusion, minority businesses, women-owned businesses. So much so that, you know, we often live in the past, and I'm a proponent of knowing that our past is there, but we should visit our past, collect the data that we need so that we can step into our present and work towards our future together collectively. And as a result of that meeting, I am happy to announce that for what is believed to be the first time, we have a HUB tab listed to the Duplin County website to talk about minority and women-owned businesses, and actually a process as to how these businesses can go about getting certified with the state of North Carolina, which is to help benefit them in their efforts. But I'd like to take this opportunity to read what's on our website, and it's located under the News tab and also under the Finance tab, where our Director Chestnut can monitor the things that's taking place. But it reads, "The County of Duplin strongly encourages minorities and women equal opportunity to participate in all aspects of county contracting and purchasing programs and prohibits discrimination against a person or business in pursuit of these opportunities on the basis of race, color, sex, religion, or national origin." And I'll repeat, the County of Duplin strongly encourages minorities and women equal opportunity to participate. That is a step in the direction to bring clear clarity and transparency about what Duplin County intends to do as pertains to diversity, inclusion, and minority and women-owned business. And I would just like to say thank you to Director Chestnut, to Attorney Wilson, and to you, Mr. Brinson, for coming together collectively and working together and being intentional to do those things that's necessary to bring about true opportunities for those that's out there that truly need to have that chance. So again, thank you for your efforts, and I look forward to working on other things as we move together to make things as best as they can be for Duplin County and its citizens. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Branch, for bringing it to our attention.
Okay, at this time, I would entertain a motion to go into closed session for legal matters, NCGS 143-318.11.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any further comment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. We're now officially going out of open session into closed. Thank you, sir. Okay, we're officially back into open session. Is there anybody outside that would like to come back in?
I don't believe so.
Okay, is there anything that the board would like to address?
I'll address this now. It's something that two folks in my district have brought up. We were talking about solid waste, and Mr. Garner brought up hours there, and I thought this was an appropriate time. So the stockyard, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, out in Wallace right there across from Bill Perone's?
Yes.
I think they have that twice a week. And that is not the city of Wallace property. That is county property. And I've gotten a couple of concerns from, one of them's a police officer in Wallace and one of them's a business owner right there, about the trash debris afterwards that's just left out along the lines and it blows into their property.
Okay.
And they want to know if we can do anything to get it addressed. Whether that's more of, I don't know if that's sheriff's presence or...
I'll start with the solid waste enforcement solid officer waste. First.
Yeah.
And if he can't...
He said it's. He showed me one of the guys showed me some pictures, and it was significant.
Okay.
It's bad.
Yes, I'll address that in the morning.
Yep.
Is that county owned property or is that private property?
It's private property, and it's gotten, but it's in the county. It's not in the city. Mm-hmm. It's not in the city of Wallace. And that's a good point. I think so, there's a new owner, and now that the new owner's gotten involved, they're saying they've noticed a lot more debris there than with the previous owner.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
In my opinion, that's the first place that we need to address is with the owner.
Okay.
That yes. We've got the complaint.
Yes.
Because if I was the owner, I would like to know that it's come to the Board of Commissioners
right.
Mm-hmm. Before we started any other type of enforcement.
Okay.
So I would say let's speak to the owner, if you will.
We will.
Yep. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Anything else from the board?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, I got a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second? Adjourn until June 6th?
If you would, Mr. Chairman, the motion will be to adjourn until June 6th at 6 p.m. for a commissioner's meeting at the Ed Emery Auditorium in the Lois Britt Agricultural Building located at 165 Agricultural Drive in Kenansville.
That was your motion,
correct.
Mr. Garner?
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? We will see you on June 6th at the Ed Emery Building. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You gentlemen have a good evening.
Don't hold your breath, sir. For me to call in.
Two, sir.
I'll make sure we text.